Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Wednesday, the 25th of June, 2014. I'm Steve. I'm in Essex, as per usual. And tonight we haven't got our favourite Colin, the favourite model, good-looking Colin. He's on holiday. So we've got a excellent replacement. Probably you'll find much better, actually, than Colin. It is a fellow Northern Islander, and it's Davey Elder. How you doing, Davey?
I'm good, Steve. I feel like the Mickey Hazard as I have to replace Hoddle. So I see Colin sunning himself in Portugal. So hopefully I can step in and do just as good a job.
Well, straight away, apologies to Mickey Hazard. He obviously listens every week, and you know, and as does Hoddle. You know, Hoddle will be very happy with that. But our old Mickey. No, cheers, Davey, for stepping in. Obviously, Davey is the Spurs poet. Writes fantastic poems. Go on to his page. Tell us first of all, then, Davey, all about your pages that you got going and what have you. A little bit of self promotion, just like they do on the Spurs show. Go for it.
Well, the Spurs poet thing kind of came from the guys at work. I used to do a few bits and pieces, basically about workmates and for friends' weddings and stuff. So it kind of got through where the original Tottenham Football Fancast, when Emerson Webster used to do the poems, which Andy Commons used to read out. So I decided that, yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll try it. And I started writing my first couple of poems, and before I knew it, I had like 1,000 followers. So that's kind of took, you know, on Facebook there, the Spurs Poet page on Facebook's got over nearly 6,000 followers. And at the Spurs Poet on Twitter has nearly 2,000 followers. So it's kind of just snowballed completely out of control. But I've enjoyed it, and I'll just keep doing it.
And all your poems are available, aren't they, on your Facebook page?
Yeah, all poems are available on Facebook page, and I do requests. If somebody wants a poem about a certain player, game, you know, memory, just drop me an inbox and I'll get one straight back to you.
Oh, fantastic. Just before we go any further, actually, I've had some contact with a couple of really good guests. Obviously, the last show was about 3 weeks ago now. With Russell Osman, who was fantastic, and he spoke to my dad recently. He said, you know, he really enjoyed it, and you know, it was great talking about Escape to Victory and you know, all the older stories and stuff. Even though he never played for Spurs, he said that, you know, the you know, talking about Tottenham and the players he played against was great. Hopefully, we're going to get Steve Sedgley on the show as well. We kind of got him lined up, but you know, we'll see about that one. But one person that has got back to me is it should be a fantastic interview, actually, is Des Walker. There is a Spurs connection, because he was born in Enfield, and he played, he was on Spurs books for 3 or 4 years as a kid. I think we got rid of him. I don't know the ins and outs of the story, so I'll definitely ask him. And of course, he's an absolute hero of ours from 91. I don't quite know how I'm going to approach the question about that cup final, but obviously it'll be good. You know, played with all the greats for England. Obviously, the last time we was any good, 1990, playing with Gazza and what have you. So he's got some stories there. He'll have some great stories about Brian Clough. I know that because my dad said that he told some great stories about him. And of course, he played against Klinsmann as well. So that's coming up hopefully in the next couple of weeks, and I'm really looking forward to that. I just got to find out a way of asking that question about the cup final goal, obviously. So that should be good. I'm not asking you, Davey, to do a poem about him. Don't worry. But So listen. I mean, let's get into it then. You know, the biggest topic at the moment. Go on, Dave.
Just before that, Steve. Due to the lack of podcasts since the end of the season, I've been listening a lot to Danny Kelly's My Sporting Life.
Yeah.
And Stuart Pearce. I downloaded an old Stuart Pearce one, and he said that Des Walker was the best centre-back he'd ever played with,
yeah,
and the most consistent centre-back over the years. So now that'll be a good one. Des Walker was a fantastic footballer.
Yeah.
So now I look forward to hearing that.
No, it should be good. I'll bring that up, Davey. Cheers for that. The thing that everyone obviously is talking about at the moment is, the Suarez bite. Do you see it? Davey?
Yeah, I did see it. I actually thought, I did think he did bite him, of course. I know lot of people, a lot of Liverpool fans are saying it was a headbutt and it was a clear bite.
Are they though? Because I went straight onto Twitter trying to find Liverpool fans, and there was a lot of people going, all these Liverpool fans defending him. I didn't see any. Were they defending him? I was searching frantically to try and find some.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few on Facebook and Twitter who are trying to defend him. I don't think he can. You know, it's the third time he's done it. I know they're talking about a 2-year ban, but I don't think Liverpool will back him this time. I think there was apparently a pre-agreement with Barcelona. I think Liverpool's going to get rid as quick as possible.
I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Such a brilliant player, and he does this. And last time they were talking about putting him in, giving him, he needs help. And I was sad at the time, I don't think he does need help. You know, there's 7 billion people in this world, and he's in the top 0.1% of people who don't need any help. Thanks very much. You know, I think he can, sort himself out. I'm sure he can. It's happened again. And, what annoyed me was, because I was watching both games, the England game, obviously dead, damp squib, not interested really in watching that, but I had to have to watch it anyway. And I was watching the Italy-Uruguay game, so I was watching it live. And then when that happened, I turned up the volume, and the commentators were driving me mad, going, oh, I think he's put his head in there. I'm not sure really what's happened. He's showing his shoulder. And I was like, well, I've just seen him bite him. They've shown all the different angles, and every angle you saw him bite him. So I don't know what the debate was about. The funniest bit for me was Rodriguez. I think he was the Uruguay player, who was trying to pull up the shoulder sleeve of the guy that he bit. What's his name? Oh, I can't remember, but the Italian.
Chiellini.
Yeah, right? And he was pulling the Uruguay guy, as he was showing his shoulder to the ref, the Uruguay guy was pulling up the material. So I thought that was hilarious. I go, no, don't show him. Don't show what my mate's just done. So that was ridiculous. But, yes, that's a funny old one. It's pity we haven't got Colin on tonight, because I was going to ask him, would he still have him at Spurs? But probably yes.
He's a massive Suarez fan.
I know. Listen, what about England then? What can you say? Missed out narrowly on the first couple of games. The first game we was pretty all right. Second game not that great, and then the third one just a damp squib of a game. And is nothing. Wasn't he? Once again, you cast your mind back to when we actually had a decent England game where you could leapt up in the air jumping around. Probably have to go 96. What do you reckon, Davey?
I think that was around 96, 98 when I just stopped worrying about international football. I think that England's problem from my point of view, it just stems from grassroots football, and I don't think there's a good structure. I think whilst the people that's in charge at the FA at the minute, I just don't see a way forward. There's not enough football and people involved. As far as this tournament goes, the expectation levels weren't there anyway. They definitely are 4, maybe 5 years off the pace of trying to compete in the top tournaments. But now it's the time for Barkley and Lallana and players like that really to start getting their chance. I thought Barkley was a shining light, to be honest. He's a player I'd love at White Hart Lane. But we'd never get him. But I think now it's time just to go back to basics, start bringing these kids through. And, if it means the next Euros, that's going to be another trial and error. It's going to be 4 years before they're up there competing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a couple of things have been missed here. One of the things they keep talking about, the youth, and play the youth. I mean, presumably we're going to play the youth so that in a couple of World Cups' time, the youth will be mature and they'll be ready and they'll be on the top of their game. Well, we played the youth 3 or 4 World Cups ago, and that was using Gerrard and Lampard. They were both, you know, this is both their, I think, their third World Cup. So we did actually play them then, so they should, you know, this should be the top of their game, and probably, you know, certainly Lampard was the best player in that Costa Rica game, but, you know, as I say, it's a worthless friendly, really. We do play a lot. I mean, there's so many issues with the England side. You know, you've got two guys there, Gerrard and Lampard, who are, you know, in world terms, have been the best two midfielders, you know, certainly in the Premier League, and could have played in any side for the last 10 years. They've got trophies galore between them. They've been fantastic week in, week out, yet the two of them can't play together for England. I mean, I just don't know why. Why don't the two of them, you know, why don't these England managers get the two of them together and go, right, listen, I'm going to put you in a room, I want you to talk for half an hour, or however long you need, and when you come out of that room, you're going to tell me how you're both going to play together for the next tournament. But I mean, it's too late now, because obviously, you know, they're too old now. But I'd have done that 6 or 7 years ago, and I said, settle your differences, whatever it is, and you two figure out a way that you're going to play together. Because how on earth does Gerrard play with all these different midfielders for Liverpool, but can't play with Lampard? And how does Lampard play with all these players at Chelsea, but he can't play with Gerrard? I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Then you've got the Rooney situation, where Rooney is our best player. He's, you know, like our Gazza, if you like. Very same sort of stature, same sort of you know, mentality, if you, for want of a better word. Someone who's a match winner. Someone who, whenever he comes to White Hart Lane, absolutely tears Tottenham apart. Brilliant player. And there's people saying we don't know whether to play him on the left, which position to play him. And we're actually at the second game of the World Cup, and we still don't know what to do with our best player. It's just absolutely bizarre. I think, in a way, that the media and managers have taken that fire out of Rooney's belly a little bit. You know, they've sort of said, oh, calm down, Rooney. Don't get sent off, mate. Whereas what you really need is someone to, you know, say, go on, get out there and show us what you can do. So there's a couple of things there. What do you reckon, Davey?
No, I agree. I think, you know, I agree with, it's like playing your best players in a strange position that's not familiar to them. Regarding Rooney, whenever I seen Rooney out in the wing, I thought, you know, as you say, we've already done this in the World Cup, so why is it taking another 4 years to have a player like Rooney, who we all know is a central player, but why play him out wide? Just some of the decision making over the last few years has been strange, and I know they've backed Hodgson for another 2 years. Don't know if that's a good idea or not, but let's say, listen, the problem was they didn't have any Spurs players. that's the problem.
Well, I think the Spurs players that are actually at the World Cup haven't been very good, have they? The old the Belgians, and I know I got a little stick for saying I'm not sure, quite sure that Paulinho is going to improve his form that much. And, you know, he's been like he has been at Spurs, really, you know, all right. But I don't know if he'll play again, because that Fernandinho came on and scored a goal straight away. So, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you want to support the players, and you want to support Tottenham through thick and thin. But then you know, you've got to be realistic as well. And through these, you know, the podcast, through the Facebook, through the Twitters, you know, you want to be honest, but then you get someone jumping down your throat. I mean, our new admin guy, Graham, who we got on board because we wanted him to put loads and loads of stuff out. And he has, and I don't agree with everything he's put out, but it's great. You know, why would you want to agree with everything? But people have got to stop swearing and you know, saying saying that's rubbish. You know, you've got to offer a different opinion. I've always said it. You can't just say, you know, I want to play Eriksen, or I want to play Lamella, and I want to play this player and that player. All right, well, who's coming out? Who aren't you playing? So opinions are great, and you know, just keep firing and keep going on our Facebook page, because Graham's always putting stuff up on there. And you know, but the thing is, if you, I'm just going to mention this now, if you do just say, you know, like swear at him or something, then I'm going to have to ban you, because you know, it's just not interested at all in any of that. Any of that sort of stuff. But point I was getting to was Jason Tottenham Thailand, Jason McGovern. I'd said that Paulini, I'm not sure he's going to have a great World Cup, and he said no, he's going to be fantastic. You know, two completely different opinions there, but you know, it's good, isn't it? Good having chats about that, and I was right.
I think on that as well. I think Graham's doing a fantastic job. I get this in the poet page as well, where you try and put an opinion across, and you're doing it because A, it takes a lot of time to run one of these Facebook pages, and B, you're doing it for the love of Tottenham. But whenever you put something across, people seem to be really, they just jump straight away, and as you say, there'll be swearing involved, there's abuse involved, and it's just ridiculous that, you know, this day and age, that people can't have a serious conversation without, you know, giving you all the dog's abuse under the sun. So, but yeah. Anyway, Graham, keep it, you know, good work, keep going.
Absolutely. You know, all I said at one point was I'm not quite sure that Paulinho is going to have, you know, turn his form around and be fantastic for Brazil. And then someone's like saying to me, what are you saying that for? How can you not support Tottenham players in this World Cup? It's like, well, it's just an opinion. I just don't think he will. You know, he hasn't. So it's a bit weird, isn't it? You know, and
I feel he's played a lot of football, Paulinho. Yeah. I kind of actually feel sorry for him. I think, you know, he's went from the Brazilian League. He played in the Confederations Cup. You know, then he came to Tottenham. He's went to the World Cup. He's had 2 years kind of consecutive football. And I just think he looks tired. Yeah. He just looks...
He's had all the confidence sucked out of him.
Yeah.
And you know, but you know, hopefully, you know, let's hope that he gets back. You know, he might win the World Cup with them and score the winning goal. You know, it's not all over yet. So yeah, we'll see what happens with him. Bentaleb, obviously, when I turned on the Algeria game the other day, he gave the ball away about every time he got it. So. Not, you know, I still think in a few years he'll be fantastic. So, but that was a funny one. And is there anyone that's caught your eye that we might, you want to buy, Davey, from the World Cup? You see?
There's been a few players who I think have looked handy, and I know it's a World Cup and people can have a couple of good games and that's that, but, there was a fullback, I think it was Rodriguez. Was either for Costa Rica or Colombia. I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
Mertens from Belgium looks decent on the right-hand side. The one that I haven't and I've been kind of let down by is Lukaku. I think he's had a terrible World Cup.
Yeah.
And I know Lovren, there's a lot of talk about the Croatian, obviously with the Southampton links and... you know, you might see Dawson making way for Lovren. So it's, you can't really base anything on 45 minutes at a World Cup. So again, that's up to Baldini and Levy and Pochettino to sort out.
Yeah.
But I don't think there'll be a massive influx of players. I just think it would be a bad move to bring in 6-7 new players.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? I was watching, Iran, Argentina the other day, and, I really liked the goalkeeper, with jet black boots and jet black gloves. And I thought, oh, what a good look. And he, you know, he's making saves all over the place for, Iran. And, And then, of course, you know, he's letting a load of goals tonight. So, but, you know, and then there was Greece the other night as well, wasn't it? The guy smashed it against the bar, and I thought that was great. And then Nigerian this afternoon against Argentina was smashed in a great goal. And you go on Twitter, and it's straight away like, oh, someone has reported that we've put an offer in. It was that Belgian, wasn't it, the other day that knocked it in, yes. Ogilvy and Mather or whatever his name is. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's been a really enjoyable World Cup to watch. You know, and like I've said, the only team that, haven't been of any interest whatsoever is England. You know, we've celebrated a couple of equalising goals, whereas every other team has, you know, had great moments and gone 1-0 up, you know, restored a bit of pride like Spain did. And we just have had absolutely nothing. Very similar to our Tottenham season, unfortunately. But you know, we'll be back hopefully in not too distant future. Let's move on then, I suppose. A bit of Tottenham chat. We've got West Ham first game. Now this is going to be another one, isn't it, where everybody's going, yep, great, West Ham first up. You know, get rid of all the last year's hat trick of losses. You know, perfect, and then we'll all be up for it, and then you know, we'll go and lose 2-1 or something soppy. What do you reckon?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I looked at our first three fixtures, which is I think it's away to West Ham, is it home to QPR, and away to Liverpool.
I think it's home to Liverpool.
Home to Liverpool. Well, I predicted we lose all three. I can see it happening. I can see us losing to West Ham. I can see Harry Redknapp, you know, getting this QPR side fired up and beat us.
Park the bus and sneak a 1-0,
And then I can see Suarez grabbing an 89th minute winner after he's won his disciplinary hearing. And that's just the Spurs side of me coming out. And serious, I think looking at our first six fixtures, you know, we really should be picking up a few points. Obviously, I'm excited to see what Pochettino brings to the, you know, the table. I've done a bit of reading up on him, and it looks positive. Mm. But again, it's whether these players are willing to play for him, because if you look, did you watch Vertonghen playing for Belgium?
I've seen a bit again, of him, yeah.
I think he just has this. I think he's got this personality problem where he's just not happy unless things are, you know, under his terms and conditions. I think it's going to be interesting. Obviously, West Ham, to start off with, they're going to want to come and beat us again so they can get another DVD released and a new T-shirt and another commemorative cup and stuff to sell. So,
which is fair enough. This is fair enough. This is what we'd do exactly the same with the Arsenal.
Well,
so,
yeah, it is their cup final after all.
I think this is going to be our cup final. we'll be desperate to win this game.
Yeah, we will.
They'll be like, we beat you three times last year. What do we care? Yeah, they'll want. Sam Allardyce out, won't they? So they might want to lose it. But, you know, it'll be interesting. We'll talk, obviously, more about the game, you know, a little bit closer to the time. So, yeah, was there any other little bits and pieces that you had there, Davey, that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. Obviously, the Legends Knights that are over in Northern Ireland, they're a lot of hard work, but for anybody that hasn't been to a Legends Night, it's an absolutely brilliant experience. And the one that I'm running next is with Ozzy Ardiles and Mickey Hazard. And it's 18th of July in the Ross Park Hotel. Now, for any Northern Ireland listeners, there is very limited tickets left. So if you can get in contact with me ASAP, I'll try and get a couple of tickets put by. The other one is Norman Giller, who's an acclaimed author and has written a lot of Tottenham books. Norman has written a book about Danny Blanchflower. The proceeds of the book go to the Tottenham Tribute Trust. And for people that don't know, the Tribute Trust have helped out with medical bills for the likes of Bobby Smith and Les Allen. They've also are currently helping out Dave McKay, Peter Beggar, Ron Henry, Morris Norman, a lot of the older players who have fallen into difficult times. So all the proceeds for the book go towards a trust. The books are £10. Also, they have a poem by myself in the book as well. So if you're able to buy the book, you're able to see one of my poems printed, which I was delighted to have been part of.
Get a little bit of cash for that, maybe?
No. Everything for the book, everything on the book is going to a Tottenham Tribute Trust. So it's £10 a book. And again, if anybody's interested, inbox me. We can sort it out via PayPal or whatever, and we'll get the book shipped out ASAP. It's for a good cause. It's for the, you know, the older players that formed the shape and the history of the club. So it's well worth it. It's well worth it.
Fantastic. So you got that. You've got the old the pages there that you've mentioned. Was there anything else? You mentioned another night or?
Well, no. It's just basically the book and the Legends Night were the sort of two main things that I think I've kind of thrown myself into them, and I think it's very important for people to realise that while I'm promoting this book, I'm getting nothing from this. I'm doing this because, like we all do, we all have a love for Tottenham. So
yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, people to realise that there's nothing in this for me. It's all going to the trust.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Nice one. And I mean, with regards to next season, you got membership lined up.
Yeah, membership sorted. Membership sorted. I've already, through the supporters club, we've kind of earmarked four or five games, which we're, you know, looking to come over. And obviously, I'll be doing my own couple of games as well. So we're kind of hoping maybe 6 or 7 trips this year.
Yeah. We're going to America, aren't we, for a little pre-tour. Who are we playing in America?
I have no idea.
I can't remember.
I have no idea. But then
we've got Schalke. I mean, I was thinking the other day, you know, about these friendlies business. I mean, why don't we play? Why don't all clubs do this? Why don't you play your nearest and dearest rivals? A couple of weeks before the start of the season. So, for example, we'd play Arsenal, and you could do alternate venues each year. So say we start this year, you know, do it at White Hart Lane, and then next year at the Emirates and blah, blah. And then Liverpool and Everton do the same. Just for a night, you know, instead of going to White Hart Lane and watching Spurs v Schalke, which, you know, who's interested in going to watch that? You know, of course we'll go and we'll pay our money and we'll have a great day in the sun and watch us win 5-0 and then all get excited and what have you. But, what, you know, it would be really good. And I know people are thinking, oh, no, because, you know, you'll get broken legs and what have you. Listen, you can break your leg walking down the road. I think Rio Ferdinand once broke his leg or done his ligaments because he had his foot on a coffee table for too long. So, you know, and then you could make it as competitive as you want. So you just, you know, every year you play your nearest rivals. I know the way I got the idea was because Welling play Charlton every year in a pre-season friendly. It's a great idea. You know, they're two clubs, a couple of miles apart, and just as a pre-season, they always play each other. Brilliant idea. You know, just to get it really nice and competitive. Because I think, you know, a lot of these top sides, Chelsea's, Man United and what have you, they do all play each other, don't they? Because they play in America and they go to Thailand and they play these, you know, really high-profile games against Milan. And we're playing Schalke, you know, and we'll probably have a couple of others against, you know, sort of mid-range Spanish teams or whatever. We need to play a couple of top teams. I know last year we played Monaco and got absolutely trounced, but, yeah, just a little idea. Don't know.
Yeah, it would kind of, you know, to play against Arsenal on a pre-season friendly, you would see the players actually up their performance levels by maybe an extra 10-15%, which...
I mean, play at Wembley, why not? I mean, bit of money for Wembley Stadium. You know, have a great day out. Do it every year, why not? Be right off.
Just on Wembley Stadium, do you remember we played Barcelona and Celtic in a tournament? Was that at Wembley?
That's right, yeah. Samaras smashed us to pieces.
Yeah, and just on that, Jake Livermore scored for Tottenham against Barcelona.
That's right, yeah.
And the commentator said, what's it like to score against the best team in the world? And Jack Livermore said, I play for the best team in the world.
Yeah.
And that's apt as Jack has just signed for Hull.
That's right, yeah, yeah. So him and Tom Huddleston.
Well, I actually met Tom about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Nice lad. He stopped and he signed the Puma shirt we wore in the Champions League season.
Yeah.
So no, nice lad.
Yeah. I generally find when you meet any of these guys, they're all right. You know, there's you know different reports, and I know that you can be you know in different situations with them, and but I haven't really heard too many negative things. I mean, there are obvious people who funny enough, you know, I think Harry Redknapp was talking about the other day. You know, there's another one with the Harry Redknapp thing. You know, someone's asked his opinion, and he's come out and said, "Well, look, when I was at Tottenham, there was a few players that didn't want to play for England." And everyone's jumping on the back and calling him all the names under the sun. And you just think, you know, football is strange in the way that people just remember the last 2 or 3 months of his regime. Whereas actually, he was the best manager we've had for years and years and years for what he actually achieved for our football club. And, you know, I've said this before, and if I ever meet him, I'll shake him by the hand and I'll say thank you very much. And, you know, I won't be saying, oh, here he is, open his trap again, saying this, saying that. You know, football is an entertainment business. And whenever I get home from school, the first thing I do is I put, because I'm a teacher, I'm not a pupil. When I put on the telly, I put Sky Sports News on. And I reckon probably 90% of people who listen to this probably do the same. You know, they get in, they check if there's a new Hotspurs podcast been downloaded, and then they flick Sky Sports News on. And if there's a little banner on the bottom that says Tottenham, you get all excited, you know, or Tottenham are on. And, you know, when we had Harry in charge, it was great, because it was every day. You know, this is entertainment, and that's what it's all about, isn't it, Davey?
Oh, exactly, exactly. It's... you can't do wrong for doing right, I'm afraid. That would be Harry's motto in life. You know, as I say, the majority of fans didn't like it when he bent out of the car window and, you know, he was giving all the TV interviews, but...
Yeah,
you know,
and then the next day we don't hear anything. Go, come on, tell us what's going on. Why aren't they telling us everything? Gets on your nerves. But what, so what if he... You know, let's go the other way. So what if he likes a bit of media attention? You know, there's so much... I don't think jealousy is the right word, but all this, you know... Fat Frank, and I mean Frank Lampard, jumping around subjects here. Yeah, it's just this abuse that people give to Harry Redknapp or Frank Lampard. They've had just fantastic careers, and they've been, you know, won all the things, you know, and they call him Fat Frank. Spurs fans do. It's like we should have had him a few years ago. You know, when he was on the verge of leaving Chelsea. I mean, it's too late now. I would have thought anyway, but. Look, you know, I'm kind of jumping around subjects a little bit, but different things. I think we just need to be a little bit more. I don't know what the word is, but you know, less cliched maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and there was like I think it was an author. So he's a really highly intelligent guy, and he's calling him Fat Frank. And I thought, I mean, you know, this guy is married to a TV presenter / model. He's won all the things in football, and there's you calling him Fat Frank. I don't think, you know, he'd be too bothered. You know, and all the abuse that Harry Redknapp gets. Well, he's got a beautiful mansion down in Bournemouth, and he's always in football. He gets paid a fortune. You know, I don't think he's too bothered about the abuse he gets. Anyway, Davey, any final thoughts?
No, look, I wasn't too fussed. To be honest, I didn't really mind about the World Cup. The fact that it's went on, I've sort of got to watch pretty much every game, but it's kind of got the stage now where I'm just looking forward to, you know, I say proper football because I'm definitely, you know, I'm Spurs and that's it. So I just can't wait to get back, get the World Cup over, settle down, let's see who we bring in, who we let go, and let's just hope and fingers crossed for another season, which I don't really care if we get top four. I want to go to Wembley. I want a trophy. So that's my outlook for next season. Not fussing the top four. I want to have that special day out and get a nice big silver shiny cup. That's what I would like this season.
Yeah, I mean, that is what I think also. Or beat Arsenal, you know, just have something. Know, the bragging rights for 6 months would be lovely. I know we play Arsenal quite early on. It's at the Emirates, unfortunately. So, you know, the chances are that we won't get that result. But, you know, we can't just keep losing, to these, our nearest and dearest rivals. And hopefully we'll do a little bit better than we did last year anyway. I had a million things that I wanted to talk about because we haven't done a show for a few weeks. As football is, I've managed to forget everything and, you end up talking about what happened yesterday. But we get a few little rambles in there as well. Apologies for that. Just fast forward. I don't mind. I know that, as these highly professional people that me, yourself, Davey and good old Colin are, we only do our best. It's at the end of the day, we do a Skype phone call and, record it. And then if you want to listen to it, that's fine. If not, it's entirely up to you. But, we're Spurs through and through and, we'll keep doing them. As I say, hopefully we'll have Des Walker, brilliant interview next week. So send us a few questions. I'll confirm it first and then you can send me your questions and then we'll have a few more people as well. And, we'll have you on again, Davey. See if,
Do you want to do a quick poem? Do you want time for a quick poem?
Oh, I'd love one, yeah.
Okay, well, seeing as we're, I'm doing my promotions for Danny Blanchflower and stuff, and we're embarking on a new season, I want to take us back a few years. So here it is. They stand all in white with the lights beaming down. The knights full of glory chasing Europe's top crown. The runners, the passers, the kings of the lane. The Tottenham, the Spurs, the lads on their game. The legends, true legends. These lads at their peak, these legends, these moments are the ones we all seek. Give me a return to the era we adore, when the cockerel didn't stand, the cockerel did soar. Give me Blanchflower, give me John White, give me a Jones in full flight. Give me Dyson, pray for Mackay, just give me the 60s without the 90s sigh. Give me a Baker and a touch of Big Smith, we once had control, this wasn't a myth. Give me Les Allen, give me Bill Brown, give me Ron Henry and Morris Norman closing down. Give me Medwin and Marchie and please give me a Bill Nick. When the game was about glory, Tottenham's passing so slick. Give me 60s as I've never had it, I didn't get to witness the sight. When Tottenham were totally dominant, as they stood there tall, dressed in pure lily white. The future's bright, the future's lily white. Listen, Steve, pleasure.
Cheers.
For being on. All right, thanks, mate.
Speak to you soon. Cheers.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on.